Right before the gospel reading for this morning, in Mark chapter 10, there are these verses. And then they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." During this Lenten season, we've been taking a look at the whole dynamics of God calling us home. That from the day we are conceived, God has already prepared a place for us. He knew us before we were born. He knew us as we were being formed in the womb. And he has a place prepared for us. But as we prepare for this calling day in and day out, we recognize in our Lenten theme that sometimes we stack on stuff that we don't need for this kind of journey, this call home. We've talked about leaving things behind, like foolishness or folly, complacency, and some other things as well. Today, the theme is leaving behind the phony facade. Facade's a French word. I didn't study French when I was in school. But it's a word that in the sense of how it's used is, it really doesn't do anything. As far as a building and a facade, it's not structural. It's not holding up something. It's not a main ingredient of the building. But what it does is it presents a certain kind of look. Well, in a sense, people have a facade. It's the image that we want to project. It's how we walk around, how we carry ourselves, how we talk, how we smile. When we get up on a Sunday, you know, it's kind of like we bring our church face, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the week we might have, you know, a time of our normal face and then our work face and then, you know, our face when we deal with the in-laws, which is really usually grumpy, but, you know, it's whatever kind of face. Think about it. I'm always interested when I go to visit families in their home, how they want to make a certain kind of appearance. And, you know, the Bible that's been in the bookcase is now on the coffee table. That's part of the facade. Do you understand? It's not necessarily who you are, really. In today's gospel reading, that is these verses, earlier verses in Mark chapter 10, we find that there's a challenge about these facades. One is, it's an affront, that is, it's offensive to God's word, that we would want to pretend to be something we aren't. And that happens in two ways. One, sometimes, and we answer the question, "How are you?" We go, "Fine." And inside, we are absolutely miserable. It seems like only a week ago, but it seems like 2 months ago. On March 8th, I was here, and I shared with you that Gwen and I were going to be going to Oklahoma City on a small plane, you know. And I preached a sermon, and I told Pastor Al this morning, I have no clue what I preached. I don't remember the theme. Now, it might amaze you, but I remember some sermons. I remember most themes. When I look at a text, I'm reminded what I said. And maybe not the full manuscript, but I can look at that too. But I don't remember a thing. Because inside my body, my knees were shaking. And under these robes, I was miserable. I wasn't angry at you, and I wasn't blaming you for my misery, because I wanted to be here, and I wanted to be in Oklahoma City like that all at the same time. You see, on that Friday, we had gotten the phone call that my daughter had a tumor in her brain. And Sunday, by the graciousness of a friend of our daughter's, Max flew his personal plane here from Oklahoma, picked us up at 2 o'clock, and flew us to Oklahoma City. And so from 2 o'clock, it was a four-hour flight, and shortly after that, we were in the hospital with our oldest daughter, Megan. And the hospital had already done a battery of tests, and they were going to do more tests. They weren't waiting. And then we get told the surgery's going to be on Thursday, and then on Monday, we get told the surgery's on Tuesday. And she has the surgery, and it's confirmed that it is a mass. It was larger than a golf ball, and it was on the left side, which impacts what's called your motor function, your fine ability just to do this. Your speech is on the left side, and things like that. And then we get told that on Thursday, their lab sent it off to a specialist lab in California, and it was going to take another 7 to 10 days to hear the pathology. Well, Sunday was bad enough, okay? But I had this facade, you know. Only by the grace of God was I able to do what happened that Sunday, which I don't remember. You know, I know we had a congregational meeting. I know about that. But I just don't, it's not that I blacked it out. It's just my stress level was high. But I've been told, people wondered, how was I doing this? And the answer is God. So I don't want to pretend to you that I'm super preach and I can leap over steeples in a certain single bound. That's not me. I join you as the poor, miserable sinner who has doubts, fears, frustrations, and all the things that maybe people have, and I have some of those with you. And yet, it is by the grace of God I do what I do. And that's what this message is about for you. It's by the grace of God that you are alive in Christ. But here's the problem. We like facades. We like external images. We like it, and I hate to pick on groups of people, but, you know, the geek tries to look cool and hip, you know, and most often doesn't succeed. You know, we like this imagery, the clothing products, the beauty products, you know, the hair pieces for men. It's all about this image, this facade that is encouraged to be. And so there's even slimming clothes for men my size that can bring you down and cram all this into some sort of space, you know, and make it look like I have an ab someplace in there. Do you understand? That's the facade. It is the fake self. We're not fooling God. Sometimes we're not fooling each other. You ever seen a bad toupee? You know, that person isn't fooling anybody that they're wearing a hairpiece, that there's no hair underneath. But we do this. And in a way, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue because if we are not free to be who we are in Christ, what are we doing? The other part of this is sometimes we want other people to have a certain kind of facade. We want people to act and do and be and fit. That's what it was twofold in Jesus' day. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, the facade is two ways. One, the disciples want Jesus to be this robust king to kick out the Romans, to, you know, take over the temple, provide the leadership, sit on the throne of David, and be the nation of Israel pumped up by God. That's what they wanted Jesus to project. But Jesus didn't come to do that. But because behind that kind of facade, there's still the brokenness of sin. there's a separation from God. Behind that kind of facade is still the fear of death and the misery. Excuse me. And the misery that we have in our heart and in our mind when we know what we're trying to act like, trying to be like, trying to live like isn't true. And so Jesus says about himself, he's telling you in this text who he is by real. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to die, not to rule the earthly kingdom, but to establish the heavenly kingdom forever. He came to suffer for our sin and our place. He came to die. He came to be rejected so that we would be accepted by God, to be received by him. He came to do that for us. He came being real, himself. Not what people wanted him to be, but who he is as Jesus Christ, true God, true man. He had no facade, and he wouldn't accept any facade. The Bible tells us about his appearance. He was not so charming, so handsome, that women swooned. Woo, look at him, you know. He was himself. In humility, and yet with authority and power from on high. And we are called to let go of the facades that are imposed upon us and the ones we ourselves build. Now, think about the facades we build. It's when we try to act like there's no problems, but there's conflict within. Now, I don't mean we have to be tell-all books every day, all right? When you sit at the bus station or at the airport, all of a sudden you pour out your whole life story. And, you know, if you're a parent, what your kids did to you and your parents did to you. You know, you just, and you got all this hate and all this hurt and all this frustration as if that's the psychologist for therapy. I don't mean to be a tell-all book. And I don't mean to be an airhead Christian. The airhead Christian is one who praises God if there's a bus accident, who praises God if there's a pay raise. They just praise God, you know. Things hurt in life. So God calls us to be genuine. He calls us to laugh with those who laugh, rejoice with those who rejoice, to cry with those who cry. It is to be genuine. But what it isn't to be is this superficial, shallow kind of person that tries to project success and self-worth by definition in the values of this world instead of, you know what makes us valuable? Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. That's what makes us valuable. We're always looking for self-esteem to build ourselves up. You know, if I measure myself by that, I'm always only going to be this big. But when Christ was lifted up on the cross, guess what happened? I was lifted up. You were lifted up. And when Christ died for the sins of the world, my sin was taken away. Christ redeemed us by his body and blood. My whole image, your whole image, has been changed by the cross and the resurrection of our Savior. We don't have to build another image. So in the book of Romans, when it talks about this comparison about crushed and perplexed and all these things, it still talks about victory and confidence and joy and fearlessness, all in the same breath. You preached last Sunday. I don't mean to distract from that. But March 8th, you know, I was fearful and yet I was courageous. Full of courage, all in one. And God calls us to live that way. He calls us to live in the victory. Have you ever been bummed out? You ever been depressed? You ever had the blahs? The blues? And I don't mean the music. You know, have you ever had, you know, just a grumpy attitude? And you've acted like that's all there is, and nothing is going to give you peace. Do you realize how an idiot we are when we do that? Because when things are not going right in this world and things are not going your way, did Christ still die for you? Did Christ forgive you your sins? Does Christ love you? Then why have you put this facade as if all is lost and I'm defeated? That facade is a lie for the child of God. It's a facade we shouldn't build. The other facade is this self-righteousness image. That, well, I don't sin. I gave up sin for Lent and I haven't picked it back up. That was 5 years ago. This idea that I don't have any problems. We all struggle. We all have questions. We all have doubts, no matter whether we want to admit them or not. We all have some kinds of fears. Even the most courageous soldiers that I've ever met, who have gone into battle more than once, who have been wounded and returned, have fears. Do you understand? It's the extremes, these facades. Self-righteousness, it doesn't belong. That's not our appearance. And all is lost. That's not us either. And Christ teaches us by his own modeling of what it means to live in him. And this is where our teaching and our understanding of the biblical verses about baptism become really important. Because we recognize that we have been rebuilt, made alive in Christ through the water and the word. You see, for some, baptism is more about what I do, the human being, the one who's getting baptized. It's about my choices and my decision and things like that. Now, think about it. Who would you rather have be the builder of your life, you or God? Take your time. I'll wait. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? We would rather have God. Baptism is God's action. It's God's power. So in the water and the word, because here's our baptismal font, you are united with Christ in his death, and you're also united with him in his resurrection. In other words, your sin is paid for, and you're made alive, and God has built this and established this. I don't need any other facade. I don't need a kind of righteousness that I can manufacture. And I don't need to hold on to a facade of being defeated because I didn't get my way. Instead, I get to, and you get to live in Christ. So whether there's wars or rumors of wars, whether there's famine, storms, ants in the house, you know, whether there's, you know, the kids behave or it's chaos, you know, whether you got an A in math or you're struggling, there is this victory we have in Christ. Lent is a great time to let go of facade. Stop acting like someone you're not. Don't pretend to be someone God didn't make you to be, but live in him. Not by your making, but by how God has made you alive in the Lord Jesus. There's nothing like living in Jesus. And every day, every breath is his. Amen.